back. Session number 32386, Mr. Bill Shepherd, Reel 10. Any other examples? Mm-hmm. Any other examples of what you did for the Colonel?
I can't think of anything really very exciting.
But just generally routine, you know, sorting out his problems.
Well, it's trouble with people stealing cable, actually.
Tell me about that.
Well, that was quite easy. Just see where they had the cable drums that filched, and they got the Italian police to arrest them and put them in jail without trial. And the job of repairing the main state cable went straight forward, by the way. It was quite good. There were some very, very good American vehicles, because lifting these loaded coils, which were built into chambers under the roadway, big chambers, and these things weighed about 3 tons. Each block of coils were to lift them out. The Americans gave us a wonderful hydraulic crane, single jib crane, all hydraulic. It was called a Warley France, I mean, anyway. A wonderful vehicle, sort of vehicle you could put in a motor show today and it wouldn't look out of place. I was looking for halfway along the line that runs from Bari in Italy to Athena. I had to cross a fairly deep ravine where the cable had been blown out with the bridge. And I remember it's one of my earlier efforts. I did a beautiful job of making a suspense cable.
Now tell me about that. How did you do it?
I built two supporting cables from telephone cables. And I fixed a supporting from the top of these, swung across the ravine, and I had drop wires. And to work out the length of these drop wires, I had to draw a scale drawing of the job and measure them on the paper. I couldn't work it out mathematically, you know, but beyond me. But I got that done. It was a lovely job. It looked like the Brooklyn Bridge without the lights, you know. And one of two towers, one each side, with a wonderful catenary and the drop wires. And then the cable on the bottom one looked very good. I was very pleased with it. And even the brigadier who came to look at a job, he said, a beautiful job, Shepherd, a textbook job, you see. But when George Keith comes up and whispers in me, "You're wasting your bloody time, Shep," he says. "We haven't time for this nonsense. Just lash it, kill with a bit of wire, throw it over." Yeah.
Any other things like that you did? That's really interesting.
Not really.
So, do you remember how the war came to an end, or is that the next thing? You were still out there when the war came to an end?
Well, I was in Siena when the war ended.
You were what?
In Siena.
Now, what do you remember about VE Day?
And I told you, the enemy was destroying these balancing coils, inductances. They were destroying the cases. So we had to make new cases. And we built new cases using the inductances from the old cases. We built them into 40-gallon petrol drums. And
Did they work?
Oh, they worked very well. But a small factory in Siena doing this job, and we had four technicians from England who did the work. They were specialists at this. See.
So you just supervised it, really?
I just looked after their accommodation and paid them. I kept this thing going. And when, it was, when the war came, of course, all this folded up. And we handed it all over.
Were there any celebrations when the war finished? I mean, V-Day, did you celebrate it at all?
I can't remember anything except the... I thought it was very, very happy, of course. I can't remember anything special. What I do remember is that when we packed up in Siena, I was left with a lot of spare lead off the cable repairs and a few tons of very hard bitumen, which was used to seal these drums up. And I didn't know what to do with it. I couldn't abandon it because it was worth a lot of money. So I tried to abandon it in an usual store, but they wouldn't have it. So I remember coming back to my store and looking at all this stuff, about 10 tons of lead and these drums of bitumen. I think regretfully I'll have to abandon this. And my Italian foreman said, the church would like to have this lead and bitumen to repair the chapel roof. So this chap's name was Baldini, by the way. And he was totally bald with big pebble glasses. And I said to Baldini, I could kiss you, Baldini. You've solved my problem. So I said, you take the 3-ton lorry tomorrow and you can shift all this stuff and take it to the Italian chapels and see, this is a gift from the Allies to the church in Siena. And that was that. That went. No cash transaction, because I know where to put cash anyway.
Now, so what happened? You handed over to Siena. So where did you go then?
I'm not finished yet.
Sorry.
I prepared to take my part of my 38th section up to Trieste and join Trieste Signal Company, which was then opposing Tito's Yugoslav army. But see,
what had happened to your underground signal company, underground cable company?
They were disbanded.
When was that disbanded then? At the end of the war?
They were disbanded really in Siena, really. See that? There's a piece of wood, a white piece of wood that is sticking out.
They can't see it at home.
That's a part of the story. Bring it out.
It's a flag, yeah. So tell me, so the unit was disbanded. And what happened then? Who did you go with then?
Yes, we were all lined up and loaded, ready to proceed to Trieste, when a priest turned up with a holy water thing and a whisk, and he proceeded to bless us all and bless all our vehicles. And then he said to me, a new captain, you are now a son of the Contrada of Istria in Siena, like being given the keys of the city, sort of thing. And that's the flag of...
That's the flag of
Istria, which is the porcupine.
And that's what was given. Was that the one that was given to you then, or was that a later one?
The one that was given to then, and to my regret, I never really realised what was happening, you know. Otherwise, I got a parchment to see what it was, but I was a son of the Contrada of Istria. And I went back to Siena many years afterwards, and they spotted me there, and it gave me a right good time.
Now, so what you then, now are you back with, I'm not quite sure how you're back with 38th Technical Maintenance Section. What have they been doing? Where were they?
Well, they were working up in Trieste.
And that's the old ones that you've been with in 3rd Division?
They're the same people. The same, some of them not promoted all these years.
And they were back in Trieste?
They were back in Trieste, part of Trieste Defence Force.
Trieste Defence Force?
Yes.
Now, what do you remember about that time then?
There's nothing, very quiet time. Tito did not attack us. He wanted the port of Trieste, you see.
So how long were you there for?
Not very long. Things started moving quite rapidly.
Just in 1945?
Well, one of the things that happened, by the way, we were stationed in a palace which had been Prince Roberto's palace.
In Trieste?
Not in Trieste, in Bologna. Bologna. There. And my CEO was a fellow named Udell.
Hang on, is this when you were with the 38th? Or back?
No, I'd been transferred then with 38TM into number one LC signals. That's number one lines of communication signals. Whose CEO was a fellow named Udell, whom I'd known when he was a Lance Corporal. Anyway, Inke Udell and I ran this unit between us, and suddenly we were informed that we'd be put in charge of a German workshop from the Africa Corps. We'd been made responsible for it, and so they were sent back to Germany. So the Africa Corps workshop was bigger than mine, so I told all my 38TM people that we could have them join us, or we had to stand guard on them. Fortunately, my section had a bit of sense, and we decided we'd enroll the Germans into the British Army. So the Germans took over our canteen and our kitchen and ran and domesticated our enterprise.
And what exactly were you doing with number one lines of communication signals?
Just waiting to go home. Just waiting.
So whereabouts were you then? In Bologna all the time?
Bologna.
So any memories of that time?
Oh yes, it was a very good time.
Tell us a bit about it.
Well, a few parties. Yes. And we had some very good transport, I remember. We had a very good Mercedes open tourer, the German one, of course, with the.
But you weren't doing any work?
I beg your pardon?
You had no work, no duties?
No work. We were just waiting to get home. But we had this very lovely 6-seater Mercedes drop hedge coupe thing, and we did a lot of travelling in that. I'll tell you, Inke Udell, the CEO, loved driving it. Beautiful vehicle, full synchromesh.
So, how long were you waiting in Italy before you were demobilised?
Oh, quite a time, actually.
Into 46, then?
I actually came home in 47, because they formed I had transferred at that time at the request of the chief signal officer. I had transferred to the what do you call them? anyway, I transferred to the supply side. I put it in charge of the disposal of all surplus army equipment, and my responsibility was to see that nothing of any further use to the Allies would be sold, you know, sold off at auction.
So how did you go about that?
Not very well. You couldn't protect it. It would be filched under your nose all the time. Especially transporting on. Motorbikes were stolen out of the depot and all kind of stuff like that.
Anything else you remember about that time?
I remember being in the rowing, in the group's rowing team, and a rowing team, rowing an 8-oared skiff on the Grand Canal in Venice, and one day we went out, it was a bit rough, and a skiff sank underneath us. We were just waiting to get away, you know, that's all we're doing, killing time.
So when you demobilised in 47, is that the next thing?
I stayed in until 1960, actually. I demobilised in 1960.
So what? Give us an outline of your career, because, you know, what happened, what did you do after 1947?
I went to the War Office. War Office, then I was in the 18th Army Group, Northern Army Group in Germany for 3 years.
So what were you doing there?
Staff Captain, Warlike Stores was the general name of what I was doing. I was Controller of Warlike Stores.
And what did that involve?
Well, just making sure that no Warlike Stores were being misused anywhere. But I say there was a great deal of filching going on in the stores area. Anyway, finally we all got sent home in a troop ship from Venice.
When's this, sorry?
I forget what year that was. Anyway, I joined the army. I forget what they call it, bloody people.
Do you mean in 1960 or 1947? I've got a bit lost here.
1947.
I thought we'd gone past that and you were on about Germany, but.
Well, yes, I retired from the army in 1960. I've been too old to continue, really.
Thank you very much.